who's interested in these types of ideas or these issues, and we look forward to connecting with more.
Great. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Now we have some announcements. In Spanish and in English, this Sunday, March 8th at 4 p.m., there will be a film showing in celebration of International Women's Day. It will be at the Community Church of Boston, 565 Boylston Street, on the third floor. It will feature two short films depicting what women in the fight against apartheid in South Africa and in Palestine.
Este domingo, marzo 8, a las 4 de la tarde, habrá una película, diferentes películas en celebración del Día Internacional de la Mujer.
Esto será a cabo en el Teatro Comunitario, en la Comunidad Comunitaria Community Church en Boston, en el 565, en la calle Boylston, en el tercer piso. Mostrará dos películas acerca de gente peleando en contra de la separación en Sudáfrica y en Palestina.
This Monday, March 9th, from 7 to 9 p.m. in room number 32155 at MIT, the Ideas Competition and the Microloan Foundation will be hosting a microfinance symposium. If you're interested in attending, you can RSVP to ideasrsvp at mit.edu. You can join Harvard professor and microfinance expert Michael Chu and Triffin Evans, director of the Omidyar Tufts Microfinance Fund, for an engaging discussion around the state of microfinance and its contribution to development.
Este lunes, el marzo 9, de las 7 a las 9 de la noche, en el cuarto aquí en el MIT, en el cuarto 32155, en el edificio 32, la competencia de Ideas y la fundación de Microloans estará teniendo un simposio en microfinanzas. Si quieres atender, por favor mándenos un correo a ideas-rsvp@mit.edu. Si nomás un correo, podrás tú estar con el profesor de Harvard y con el experto en microfinanzas Michael Chu y Triffin Evans, director del Fondo de Microfinanzas Omidyar en Tufts, para tener una discusión bastante buena acerca de lo que es la microfinanzas y la contribución que tienen esto acerca del desarrollo.
Okay, so that's it for today. We'll return to you next week. We'll be talking to someone from Boston Ray Crisis Center, and we'll have more interesting discussions and news ready for you guys. So see you next week.
Luego.
Bye.
Is everything enough?
Oh, I guess the music isn't working again, which is fine. In that case, let's listen to the promo for Human Beings, who are coming up next. Okay, see you guys next time.
Not selling fish hooks anymore. You are the free swimming fish.
Bully Bwanji.
Namaste.
Tune into music for human beings.
New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you.
Think that you're gliding out from the face of a cliff like an eagle. Think you're walking like a tiger walks by himself in the forest. You're most handsome when you're after food. Spend less time with nightingales and peacocks. One's just a voice, the other's just a color.
Friday, 7 p.m., WMBR in Cambridge, 88.1 FM.
فمرحبا في Music for Human. I'm الدكتور جالس السكران and I welcome you. I'm fortunate to be joined today by many of my respected colleagues and adversaries. First among them is Dr. Rico Fito Bonbiron.
Hi, thank you for having me again on the show.
Welcome, Dr. Bonbiron. Dr. Bonbiron is a specialist in herbalism and herbology.
It's always nice to be here and be able to share with me the love of plants that I have and that I can give to the population.
Welcome, Bonbiron. We also have with us Professor of Jewish Mysticism, Professor Levine.
Thank you, nice to be here.
Professor, welcome. Also joining us is Dua, visionary and New Age cook.
Salam, everybody.
Welcome, Dua.
Thanks a lot.
And I believe later we will be joined by the highly esteemed Lester Woods, ordained light minister. So a very plump and full and round circle already. But as usual, later in the program we will be taking calls from those of our listeners who have intelligent or unusual or touching contributions. Of course, the entire program yields this image that we repeat again and again, which is that of a virtual circle, this concept of many burning points of light existing and connecting simultaneously and transmitting between us various thoughts and ideas, concepts, guidances, diseases, oral or other types as well. And we would be grateful for further nodes in the circle, because the circle is a spiritual thing and it extends beyond the studio. But just in the general scheme, the circle is a vision. It's only a symbol. But symbols are very powerful things. In fact, recently I have been harassed in my meditation by these images of myself burying many friends, one after another, in my lawn. And after I bury one friend, I mean acquaintance, because, you know, really, who would kill their own friend? And so after I bury my friends, I find that later in the dream, the bodies have become partially uncovered, and I have to dig deeper. And the deeper I dig, the more bodies I find.
Can you recognize the bodies you find, or is it like a plant growing up and bringing the bodies up with it?
I think they are uncovered by kittens. I'm not sure what that means. Well, let me ask a more abstract question. And that is, do we believe that that these visions, these dreams, necessarily have meaning?
Well, the answer given by the Jewish 2nd century sage Shimon bar Yochai is that all our dreams represent previous experiences and past lives, which we must relive throughout our current lives until we're able to close all the unclosed circles, or circle all the squares.
So the meaning then would be that in some unresolved past life, past existence, my previous self had somehow left many bodies carelessly buried.
Well, it may not be a past physical self per se, so it could be part of your current spiritual self, and the bodies may have been spiritual deaths that you had caused.
It can represent your previous lives as well, as you uncover them and you know, they fill your new life with new mystique. And even though you can fight against them, you know, there's nothing you can do. They'll always come back. Because you are one person through, you know, time and space, no matter what.
I think it's really hard to understand the meaning of dreams. Because we have, if we look at the human being, we can see and hear very limited.
I'm sorry, Dua is speaking, but I'm afraid perhaps the those at home may not be able to hear.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ah, so, there we are.
So, I don't think the dream can be interpreted easily, because as you know, as a human, our range of vision is very limited, and our range of hearing also very limited. And the universe contains all kind of different variables around us. So dreams, I think, are part of the unknown, and there are a lot of people that I know that they experience dreams that can that become true in the future. So how we interpreted that?
But do you think they become true in the future because people dreamt them and they want them to become true, or because they do come true, it's just foretold?
I don't think we can really fully understand yet what's going on. Maybe science will reveal all kind of information about why we dream and what is the meaning of a particular dream.
I don't know. I don't believe Western science will be able to, you know, manage this much. Maybe Occidental, old science, maybe that will.
That it might be able to tell us that. But does it really matter? I mean, are we sure that it is even relevant to know why the future comes about? Simply that it will.
Well, yeah. This so-called science, I wouldn't put much stock in it. It hasn't really made any interesting discoveries in the past 600 years. So I think we have to go back to our ancient traditional wisdom in understanding these dreams. This is a traditions that have been passed down since the dawn of mankind. Help us use dreams to live our future lives and to develop our future selves.
yet it's difficult to really understand what the message might be from such a disturbing dream as I have had. Well, let's invite again the listeners to contribute. The number to call in, if you'd like, is 617-253-8810. Caller 1, you are on the air.
Oh, hi.
Well, welcome.
Hello, caller.
Hi.
Well, caller, you know, don't panic. Have you had any dreams lately that we might be able to discuss?
No.
Well, caller, stay with us. Let's bring another voice in. Caller 2, you are on the air.
Hello, Dr. Jaws. How'd you describe your dream? You didn't like it?
Well, I found it disturbing. I thought about it a lot. It prevented my sleep from being, restful.
Do you have any conflicts with your personality? Maybe some conflicts with the acts in your life that you are putting forward into this tangible universe?
I certainly must.
Yes, you must.
Well, but caller, tell us about your experiences. We have already heard Jali Sisakran's experience.
There are lots of colors. Colors turn into things, and then they disappear and turn back into colors.
Into color, you say? What sort of shades do you believe they change into?
I mean, and
what colors do you see?
The fact that you mention colors is really another interesting point, because, first of all, do we see color in our dreams? And secondly, if we do, are they significant? And thirdly, what are the colors trying to say? And fourthly, what are we trying to respond?
That's an interesting point. In fact, yeah. in my dreams, I found that I can't see anything. I'm actually blind in all my dreams. And the only sensory experience I feel is that of sound. So I've never seen a color in my dream or anything.
I usually just
hear footsteps.
I think that's what they call blindness dreaming.
Yeah, when you look at your forehead, you don't see colors, light ministers?
Oh, no, the light minister's not here yet. He'll be joining us soon, hopefully.
No, but the interesting point there that bears interest is whether or not...
Isn't a sound a color?
Whether or not blind people experience vision in their dreams. And now that you mention synesthesia, that's yet another question, whether or not those fortunate individuals who experience synesthesia, that is, the experience of one sense as all senses, would have that experience persist in their visions and dreams.
Do you know of any case of synesthesia of and then somebody becomes blind and loses it? I mean, will the other senses still trigger the colors?
That would be very interesting. I'm not aware, but there certainly may be such cases. Well, let me ask the other hosts. Hosts, do you experience smell and color in your
dreams?
I've had
a dream.
I experience colors in my dream. And also, I mean, there is a very weird experience in my dreams. I dreams about my relative before they die. And I always know, like a week before they die.
And you never tell them?
I never tell them. But since I'm far away from home, I always...
This is too much money.
I always know who die before they told me.
Hmm. So,
do you
so
know when I'm going to die?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it soon?
Well, no. I think that Umdu'a would probably refuse to tell you because it would change your life adversely.
I don't want to know the date. I just want to know if it's murder.
Well, whenever I have a vision that reveals information that I think might not be healthy for an individual to receive,
I had a dream everybody was trying to rape me.
Then I tend to swallow it back and
have bad dreams.
It's common if you're gay. Don't worry about it.
I think it's Dr. Jalas is right that it's important not to disrupt the natural balance and flow of the universe by revealing,
by pretending that you can read dreams,
or by revealing any information that you really aren't supposed to have.
Yeah, if you really can't read dreams, or if a dream does not truly speak
to
you,
take acid.
Then I think it would be.
That stuff's fake. That has nothing to do with reality. All it does is hiding sounds. Do you understand?
I think it would be really immoral to claim to be able to read someone's dream if you couldn't. Or even to lie about your dreams, I think would be to some extent immoral.
Everything is a lie. Well, everything that, as soon as you put anything out into this world, it becomes a lie.
What's interesting?
Well, what I wonder is, there's a fantastic movie out about this very phenomenon, which is called Punch or Push or Pull. It's about a man who he has this, I guess it's kind of like a sex slave type, you know, daughter who follows him around, and she can see the future, and he can move stuff with his mind. And she's always, you know, running her mouth about what's about to happen in the future. And everyone's like, you know what, shut up. You know, we don't want to know. And she's like, blah, 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 I'm 8 years old. I'm going to, you know, keep talking like little girls do. And she gets killed in the end. But the point is, I think
we were
that
supposed to have a bunch of, like, states wiped out by now. All that
well,
stuff.
Well, the thing is,
Washington,
if you have,
was supposed
if
to be
you
gone
have a vision, if you have a vision in your dream,
what happened
then
to
maybe that's, maybe that's the universe trying to tell you that you need to give that information out.
Well, are you
way
familiar
maybe it's
with
giving you the information to change the future?
Callers, are you familiar with the Greek myth of Cassandra?
I think you're thinking of Cassiopeia, which is actually a constellation. But
well, the Greek myth of Cassandra is a girl that is cursed by given the given prophetic vision and cursed in that no one will believe her prophecies.
Like the boy who cried wolf?
Similar, yes, but without the
wolf.
Without the wolf.
Wasn't there? There wasn't a. I thought you just said there was a wolf.
Well, no, there were calamities, so figuratively there were
okay
wolves.
That's what I picked up on. You know, I watched this movie. It's called Peter and the Wolf. And it's kind of an animated feature. It's not very good animation, but let me tell you, the animation in it is amazing. It puts, you know, I don't know if you've seen Ratatouille. It makes Ratatouille look like I don't know, like some stupid, like Peter and the Wolf or something. It's just like, you know, every scene is just mind-blowing. It's like watching a planetarium in fast forward or laser
well,
show.
Caller, let's bring a third voice into this. Caller 3?
Hello?
Caller 3, you are on the air. Marhaban.
Hello?
Is caller 3?
I'm getting bad vibes. Let me turn off this vibrator. Okay.
Hello, caller 3, can you hear us?
Well, I don't know. I do actually have a dream that I'd like to talk about, if you guys are cool with that.
Yeah, that would be great. That's okay. What we're here for.
Well, I had this dream, and this is a very serious dream that I actually had. And I was with John Travolta. And John Travolta had woman features. She had a breast and a vagina.
Just and, one breast.
Well, I mean, she had two. She had a set of breast. She had a breast set. And me and her just kind of looked into each other's eyes. And we shared like a really deep emotional moment. And I woke up, and man, if I did not have the biggest man sausage going on that I've ever seen in my life, including porn. And so my question is that gay or is that more straight?
Well, caller, I'm not sure that it's our place to place labels.
But maybe a little bit on the
caller's feelings. Right. I mean, it's interesting because there is a line of traditional thought which says that the interpretation of the dream is what makes it come about one way or the other.
So that's really interesting.
Yeah, so depending on how we interpret this caller's dreams, certain attributes of the caller may come to the fore in the future.
It's similar to the concept that the oracle may make predictions, and these predictions cause the oracle's the fact that the oracle makes these predictions cause the predictions to come about.
Right.
Did you say you had boobs in your dream?
No, he said John Travolta had boobs in his dream.
Yeah, John Travolta had boobs. John Travolta,
I think you were John Travolta.
Woman. No, I mean, it's possible, but I was
like a theatrical sense. Maybe that's it, your Hollywood self, your beautiful inner female, showing that you and John Travolta are merging as one. And maybe that's your mother's slutty side.
Well, the only movie I've ever seen was Freddy Got Fingered.
I think that the caller may in fact be imagining being nurtured by John Travolta, or that John Travolta has a nurturing influence.
I know there's
it was a very sexually charged moment, but it was also very loving.
I believe there's also a movie of called Hair where John Travolta's a woman. Maybe you see the commercial.
Yeah, I definitely saw that commercial for it. So that
that might be it.
And I just remember there are also, I mean, chicken drumsticks kind of like around us. It's almost like we're in a ball pit at McDonald's, but the balls, instead of being balls, they were chicken, like fried chicken wings.
Oh, but fried chicken wings or drumsticks? Because McDonald's doesn't have any drumsticks.
They were kind of cartoonish drumsticks. It definitely wasn't a McDonald's meal, though. It was like pretty good quality. I mean, run-of-the-mill, not really fancy, but, I mean, there is probably, like, somewhere around $6.99 a pound for these wings.
With sauce or without sauce?
There was no sauce.
I'm trying to get a full view of the dream to better, you know, understand them.
I guess there are more drumsticks. You could definitely see the bone coming out the bottom.
Well,
they're very stereotypical. It was like a bone, and there was a bunch of meat at the top.
In my statistical studies of dream prophecies, I've come to the conclusion that only about 27% of all dreams are prophetic or profound in nature. And I might suggest that this dream was from the other 82%.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that you should stay away from chicken for a while, you know. Maybe
I try to be a vegetarian.
I believe it'll be helpful for a while. You know, this might be the end of your life, yeah. You know, eating a bone of chicken and getting stuck in your throat. So I would stay away from the chicken.
You? Is that what that woman told you?
I don't know. I believe that this might be your future.
Is that what she dreamed about?
I don't know.
Well, let's move on. Now, the chicken drumstick dream leads me to think about a duck dream. And the duck dream leads me to... brings me back to an earlier vision where I was sitting with a poisoned apple under an oak tree. And we regarded each other, meditating. And we found ourselves in a strange forest. And I wonder how these are all tied together. That the dreams of food perhaps indicate that the dreamer is overweight.
Well, I mean, that I didn't make that dream, just so we're clear. I had nothing to do with that.
So you yourself did not have the chicken drumstick dream?
No, I didn't create your dream.
Oh, my dream.
Yeah, no, I wasn't, you know. I don't know why you think that, but I was not instrumental in that dream at all.
No. I am not. I can perhaps say without shame that I am an elderly, portly gentleman. I'm just trying to draw analogy there, perhaps a generalization.
What? I got so distracted just now. I wonder what John Travolta would look like with a fade. You know, like really short, natty hair. Maybe with a swoosh shaved in. Hello?
We're all here.
Excuse me?
We are all still here. We're just spellbound.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I just want to put him in my chair and just mess with his hair, just fluff it up and smell it, just drink it in for weeks, you know.
Well, if any other...
There was a point where I free-framed Face Off for about...
Well, if any other listeners would like to fluff up John Travolta's hair or anyone's hair, or if they have hair or they don't have hair, call in. It's 617-253-8810.
I'd be interested to see
that. I mean, it's true. My VHS copy of Face Off is actually worn out and you can't see the part where he turns around and his hair is kind of moving around his head in a nice little, slow-mo move.
Well, caller, do you believe that can happen with dreams? Like dreams that are repeated?
Yeah. If you dream them too many times, you can't dream them anymore. I think there's definitely a limit.
Well, there's this very common sort of dream that many have about the ability to fly or to hover.
I just learned how to do that recently, actually. It took me a while.
Well, I myself, in my dreams, I've never been able to fly as a superhero or an airplane. But I have been able to flap my arms very rapidly and glide for brief periods of time and then jump and glide again.
Well, you know, I used to have dreams where I would float. I would kind of jump and then kind of float like a piece of paper to the ground and float up and then float back down. And then I had dreams where I could jump as high as buildings and gravity was very low. And so they were very similar. But it was only about a year ago that I actually started unabashedly flying and floating around the countryside. And I remember the dream that it happened. And I was on a beach, and there was a woman there, and I was looking at her. And I looked at the beach, and I just realized that I could fly. And I kind of just focused my mind and just pushed down at the ground. And I just flew all the way up above the clouds, and I was looking down. I flew back down, and I had this whole tour of this astral community.
So you were inspired by
all over the sky.
You were inspired by an image of beauty on the beach.
She was pretty hot.
So this symbolizes
9 or 10.
Yeah. Pursuit of spiritual enlightenment and growth.
Yeah, I had a lot of growth at that point. And I went over a picnic and the people at the picnic didn't really think I should be there. I think I was kind of unwelcome there. And so I just ended up landing next to my high school teacher, and I kind of made out with her for a while.
And so this also indicates, the theme constant in your dream is that of pursuit. You pursuing your teacher, a vision on the beach, and you being pursued by angry chicken eaters at a picnic.
Did you like your teacher in, when you were awake, or was this only in dreams?
Oh, yeah, I would still, I'm trying to get her number right now. Actually, I'm on Facebook, and I'm messaging her. So, she hasn't responded at all, but she doesn't use it very often, so...
Well, perhaps she's a listener.
Melissa Maggio, if you're out there, I'd love to
study with you in a intimate setting.
In a non-platonic sense of the word study.
Non-platonic. We could start out platonic, but it would be very frustrating. And eventually, you know, if I buy you dinner, I'm expecting something. So, just to get that out there. And John Travolta, I mean, you know, John Travolta, I would pay for your dinner. I could just look into your eyes, and that would be worth it for me. I'd take you to Olive's. $60 lobster bisque, just take it.
I think he's one of our listeners.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't know. I think Scientologists actually don't allow the radios because they're full of aliens or something, right?
I don't know. I imagine John Travolta being able to do it.
Yeah, I mean, he probably has enough clout.
Well, and maybe he'll hear things, you know, if he personally has beliefs that prevent the radio.
Right, I mean...
Maybe he'll have a dream of me as a woman tonight.
Well, there are other mechanisms by which one can tune in, of course. There is the internet communications channel.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the telepathic.
Well, maybe while you were having this dream, he was having the same dream. He was there, dressed as a woman with you.
Interesting.
Think about it.
Maybe I was a woman to him, too.
Reciprocal spiritual dreams, I believe the term
is. Yeah.
Reciprocal trans-lesbianism. I just made that part up, but it sounds pretty good. It sounds right.
Let's bring another voice in. Caller 4, you are on the air. Caller 4?
Hey, I was, just came across your internet station on my Wi-Fi radio and was getting a pretty good kick out of the some of the stories there the previous guy was telling you about. But
I'm still here.
You're still here?
I'm not here.
Oh, I didn't know how this worked out here.
Okay.
Just some interesting stories there. How it just kind of bounced around.
Where are you calling from, caller?
Pensacola, Florida.
Ah.
Can I, is your name Ted?
So tell us about your dreams.
Well, I've always had this dream. I haven't had it in a long time. Basically, when I was probably anywhere from 12 to maybe 18, 20 years old, I kept having a reoccurring a dream that I was a cockroach. And,
the Kafka dream, yes. It's very famous, very normal.
I was, you know, of course, you know, being in high school and school and everything, and I would be this cockroach, and I would be underneath like an old radiator heater next to the wall, you know, the old ones that would either air condition or heat, you know. And,
it sounds like your baby needs a breast or two over there.
No.
Or a boob.
you know, I would get up and I would fly around, and I would end up in a place where I used to frequent, you know, for vacations at my aunt and uncle's house.
I'm curious as to what your method of flight is in your dream.
Well, he's a cockroach. Cockroaches.
Yeah, it's a cockroach.
And wings and everything.
Yeah, it had wings. Yeah. I mean, just your basic, you know, here in Florida, we've got palmetto bugs, and everybody calls them cockroaches. But
but they can't fly.
What's that?
I've had those too, and those can't really fly, right?
Palmetto bugs?
Yeah.
Well, they fly.
Now, you callers. Callers
in the bathroom and their toilets and stuff, and they never flew.
Well, callers, and I wondered now that you mentioned the dream of flying, if any of us have had the dream, as I have done, of falling.
I've had a few falling dreams, too. Here again, I mean, it's partly flying and then falling. Here again, I have a reoccurring dream I've actually had just recently where, you're going to laugh at this, but I did have a DeLorean, and I was like Back to the Future, and... You know, what is it, Back to the Future 2 or 3, whatever one, he's in the Wild West. And I would, you know, be going along and try to get to the other side of the, like the Grand Canyon. You know, I'm on one side and I want to get to the other side. And I have a flying dream that I'm actually flying and then immediately drop. And, of course, I wake up every time it's the same part of this dream.
and presumably at the impact.
I guess. I mean, you know, it's been probably 3 or 4 months since I've had this dream. So.
Well, going back to your cockroach dream, I believe you should. It will be very. Very relaxing for you if you read Metamorphosis by Kafka. I think it would be very relaxing and therapeutical for you.
You gotta say that one more time.
It's by a writer named Kafka.
It's Kafka?
Called, yes, and it's called...
C-A-P-H-C-H-E.
I think it's K-A-F-K-A.
Yes.
Yeah, Kafka.
And he's a Czech writer. He wrote... it's called Metamorphosis.
Mm-hmm. I believe he did the majority of his writing in German.
I'm not sure about that, but it's basically the transformation of a man into a cockroach overnight.
Was it Creole? Does that make more sense?
No.
Well, in any case, I'd also like to ask about... there's a recurring dream of mine, which is that that I'm driving and suddenly falling in my car. And... this, after a long meditation, up several ramps or other devices for shooting into the air, and my belief after a lot of meditation and study is that these dreams of flying, they call back a primal fear that we all have of falling, which corresponds to losing control. And, being cast from the sky to the earth, and the corresponding dream in the reversal of this dream is the dream of flying, of achieving control over things that we cannot have control over, and having this control in an inexplicable way.
Well, it's interesting because according to Charles Darwin's theory of evolution, we all descended from birds. And therefore, this imprinted idea of flying is sort of built into our spiritual DNA. And we are constantly trying to remember this experience of flight from our evolutionary ancestors.
Why else would we have a tailbone, you know, if we didn't have a tail?
Well, that's why we have arms. The arms are just vestigial appendages from our original wings.
You know, what's interesting is... you know, there are all these dinosaurs in Brazil and in the Amazon rainforest, and no one can get a picture of them. You know, so weird. There are at least 5 documented dinosaurs still living, and there are tons of rumors to support it. And, you know, it's kind of like whenever, it's like a quantum mechanical thing, whenever someone's around, the dinosaurs disappear. And I kind of think that maybe that does happen.
Quantum dinosaurs?
I'm sorry, it's not quantum dinosaurs, it's just quantum mechanical effects that the dinosaurs have, you know, evolutionarily evolved to take advantage of.
It may be that particular location is a rift in the space-time continuum, and those dinosaurs are actually living in their own time period, and that somehow observers of that time and place are observing a vortex.
The Amazon Triangle.
Or square.
Yeah. Coccyx? Well, is that a shape?
What's the relation as far as, you know, cockroaches and animals or dinosaurs and things relate to flying? I mean, is there a good correlation between all those or what?
Well, in my mind, again, it calls this idea that Levine mentioned up, I find this very appealing, which is that somehow our minds are, they call back to this idea that at some point in our history, evolutionarily, we were able to fly.
I'm losing you, man.
Caller?
Oh, sorry, I couldn't hear you for a second.
Well, in any case, that we recall this point in our evolutionary history when we suddenly lost the ability to fly.
Sometimes it's called the fall of mankind.
Okay.
And some sort of fall from grace ensued. resulting in us no longer being able to fly.
Yes, a spiritual and emotional disaster for us.
And finally, we, you know, this represents a loss of control, that somehow we made a mistake or we reproduced in a strange way, and the result of this is
the, I'm getting raped.
The sneakers, the advent of the sneaker era.
Oh, it sounded like you were talking about rape, you know. Tough stuff. You know, I had a friend once who, he never got raped, but he started up this marketing business, online, and, he's not very successful at it. And he actually won't answer my calls, and, he promised that he was gonna buy a bunch of, mushrooms from me, and he never did.
So, we all have these lost connections in our lives, right?
No, like, you're not a good friend. Just don't tell me these things.
Well, I appreciate the info, guys. I just wanted to throw out my story there.
Well, thank you very much for calling. We always appreciate callers from far away, from Pensacola, even better.
There you go. Put a pin up on the map for me.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Just advice for if the caller is still listening, you should try to become something different in your next dream. You can pretty much do anything. So maybe become a bird, get in touch with your ancestors, or just, you know, I would recommend, you know, conjuring up John Travolta and just holding hands for a while, just staring into each other's eyes. Because I've had a dream about falling, and it was falling for John Travolta and falling into his eyes, into the ocean of his tears.
Well, I think we all have that John Travolta in our lives.
Yeah.
Our personal John Travoltas.
For me, it's actually John Travolta, but for other people, it's like Tom Cruise in Top Gun.
Goose and Ice?
Or your mom.
Yes.
Yeah. But Iceman is actually a personal favorite of mine.
Yeah, some of us
cold as ice
try to... We favor very nice personal relationships with our mothers.
Yeah, but, you know, not sexual. So.
Certainly not.
No. Some do. I don't.
The Oedipus complex? I think that's... what I believe it's called.
Yeah. I don't, you know, I try not to get down with that.
Well, caller, the interesting thing about the about this is that there are cultures for for any given form of incest, there is a culture where that is acceptable, except incest between a mother and her son. That is accepted in no culture in history.
What if you're a baby, you know, and you can't help it?
I believe that's also universally taboo among the animal and plant kingdom as well.
I've definitely seen some monkeys doing some pretty messed up stuff with feces, so I wouldn't put it past them. But, you know, lions are very prideful. So I don't think they do that.
Well, I'm astonished repeatedly that our callers are not proud of their ancestors.
Who?
The primates.
Primates. We're pretty primates, I'd say. We're some of the primates. You know, we can walk better, we can peel bananas easier and faster, we can build skyscrapers, we can use simple tools. None of these things the primates can do.
Well, they can build simple tools. They monkeys to do it to hunt for termites.
Like dirt.
And crows actually bend sticks to pull things out of cans.
So it's just juvenile.
They use tools. Well, let's take a final caller. Caller 5, you are on the air.
Hello?
Hello, caller?
Yes, this is caller.
Welcome to the air.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here today, tonight. Thank you for taking my call. Am I supposed to ask you any questions about dreams I've been having for analysis?
Well, caller, yeah. Any contribution is welcome.
Any contribution is welcome. But I've been having this dream where I have been writing with a pen. And the pen, it's a fine Mont Blanc pen. I love this pen. I have dreams that I am writing with the pen, and all of a sudden,
you
the pen...
sexual urges.
It's no sexual urges. The pen is not a reflection of my penis. It's just, it's actually a pen, believe it or not.
No, you have sexual urges for the pen.
I have sexual urges for the pen. I don't think so, because then the pen explodes and I get ink all over myself. So what is that supposed to mean? What do you think that means?
Maybe it's you being nervous about writing.
Nervous about writing? Sometimes I think it is it could be a self-expression thing. I do not know. Because, you know, writing is a form of self-expression.
They do say that the pen is nearly as mighty as the sword. So I believe that you may be afraid of unleashing this powerful force within you.
Penisland.com.
Yeah, I recently heard one of my students mistake this expression for the pen is mightier than the pencil.
I mean, it's true, because you can't erase it.
Which gave rise to a lot of confusion.
But it's very ironic, and I don't like that. So I have a question. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it is okay. It's very reoccurring. It disturbs me. I do not know what it means.
Caller,
is there change coming in my life? Maybe.
What is your profession, caller?
Maybe you're not getting enough sex.
Getting enough what, I'm sorry?
Checks? Yeah. Are you being paid by check?
I have a direct deposit. There's no checks whatsoever. Yeah. I don't write out checks. I direct
you
deposit.
Like have checks coming through you.
No checks come through me. They go straight into the bank. Direct deposit.
That's what I'm saying. You got to get them sent to your house so you can really feel those checks and deposit them yourself and have the teller girl, you know, wink at you and say, "Wow, you have so much money. What are you doing tonight?" And then you just be like, "Not anything with you, you know, because you're ugly." And then she'll fall for you.
Will he be brown? I like the brown ones, especially their starfish. I really like the starfish.
You gotta go to Mexico.
I gotta go to Mexico for the fine starfish. I really like the brown ones that come to my door. They're sexy when they touch themselves. They give me the top.
Well, callers, I think we should return to the issue at hand.
I agree, but he said that the telegraph guy was going to come to my door. How can I help it? When they show up and they're brown, I love them.
Yeah,
I love the brown ones.
Actually,
when caller, they love you.
Kebab factory in Cambridge, who's a very nice shade of brown. I'd suggest you get some grub from him.
Well, please send him my way. I love the brown ones.
Good
Thank
luck.
You so much. Thank you so much for taking my call. Shalom.
Thank you, caller.
Okay.
But I think the caller dream represent an organized thought, because when the ink spread all over the place, that represent that he had thoughts, but he couldn't put it in a very organized way, and that's how his dream can be interpreted.
So it's the prevailing power of chaos over the power of organized thought and emotion.
Definitely. That's his case, I mean.
And of course, some of us perhaps have to embrace the powers of chaos.
Definitely.
The powers of chaos always ultimately triumph over the powers of order. Likewise, the powers of inevitable time triumph over the efforts of the humans. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of the hour. Thank you to our listeners and to the hosts that joined us, to Dua.
Thank Thanks a lot.
Professor Levine.
Thank you.
Dr. Bombiron.
Always a pleasure, thanks.
I'm a Dr. Janis Sakran with Music for Human Being, New Age Talk Radio on WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. Ma'a salama.
For safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
Oh,